Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5 for study number 33. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 33-Pure Heart-2. Let us pray. Father, give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to understand the things of God. Move upon our hearts and speak to us today. Give us that which we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, God said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." In our last study, which was study number 32, we looked at the words pure heart in verse number 5. We gave four scriptural references to this phrase, and then we proceeded to explain the first one. We called it the pure heart of salvation. Now in this study, which is study number 33, we will proceed with another reference of this phrase, pure heart, and proceed to explain it. We'll call it the pure heart of preaching or expounding the Word of God. The scripture reference is our text verse here in verse number 5 of 1 Timothy. Amen. Now Paul had sit at and studied at the feet of one of the greatest teachers of his time. His name was Gamaliel. Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3, God said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city of the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." Now Paul had been taught in the law by the greatest teacher of all the law in that day. The statement brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel means he was taught and versed by this man. Many in that day did not have the opportunity that Paul had. Paul had gotten his best education he probably could have ever gotten in that day sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. Now Paul said he was a zealous man toward God. That meant that he was enthusiastic. He was passionate. He was fervent. He was obsessive, eager, extreme, and I guess you could say even fanatical about the law in the Word of God. He gave it his all when he was serving the law. Amen, and thinking he was serving God. Paul did not anything at all half-hearted. Everything he done was whole hog concerning the things of God. Amen. Now we learn more about his teacher in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 34. "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." His teacher, Paul, had was a doctor of the law, a religious man, a Pharisee on top of that. He was a man of high reputation. According to the scripture he was a man of the council, which was a place of authority and prestige and respect in that day. Now, Paul had been taught well, and he had understood, and then at this point here, understanding the law forward and backward. After Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, he became a preacher of the grace of God. He became a preacher to the Gentiles. The education he had received from Gamaliel then became obsolete, except for the fact that Paul could better understand the philosophy of the Jewish people, and he just knew what they were talking about because he'd been on that side of the track with them. He understood why the theology of the Jewish people differed from the theology of the church, and he knew how to handle that. Now, in our text here, Paul's been on both sides. He knows the law of the Old Testament, and now he knows what the grace of God is too, because he had experienced it. He had not just heard about the grace of God and taught about the grace of God. He had experienced the grace of God. He had the authority and the knowledge of how to instruct Timothy here and also how to instruct the church. In like token now, Timothy has sit at the feet of the best teacher of the grace of God that anybody could ever sit under. He had been taught by the best preacher of grace as any could ever be taught in his day. The good thing about all that is Paul is still the best teacher in the church that can teach the grace of God. There's been some great men have come and been called to preach, and they've learned and learned, but everything they learned basically was from the Apostle Paul through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now the Lord keeps giving us knowledge day after day after day from the best of the best. We all have learned from the Apostle Paul. God has inspired him to give us 14 books out of the 27 books of the New Testament to help us fulfill the Great Commission and to spread the gospel around the world. He was the greatest preacher of the New Testament except the Lord Jesus Christ, of which no one can surpass. Jesus Christ is the preacher of all preachers, and I say amen and amen. The Apostle Paul will come in second to him. Amen. I believe that too. After saying this, we can further say that Paul is the greatest preacher of the New Testament church in his day and in our day as well. Now to get back to our text, amen, we can say that Paul has had more influence on the New Testament church than anyone, I guess, ever recorded in the New Testament. Therefore, Timothy has been highly informed on how to perform in the preaching of the Word of God. Paul has instructed Timothy, the man of God, and the church on how to be saved and birthed into the family of God. He instructed him in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And he says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now Paul has set the standard for salvation of the souls in these verses right here. There must be repentance, because Paul said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. There must be faith, because he said, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And so faith is just believing God. And so we'll see that the plan of salvation has been endorsed and brought forth to the Apostle Paul, or through the Apostle Paul, to the young Timothy. Now Paul has informed Timothy of the importance of a heavenly calling from God too as well in the preaching of the Word of God. Paul is instructed that the man of God or the preacher must have a calling from above. He explained it in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, then how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach the gospel of peace? Amen. And it tells that, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, amen, and bring glad tidings of good things. There must be a definite calling from God in heaven to preach the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Too many are standing in our pulpits today without a divine calling upon their life. Many have chosen the ministry and the office of a pastor simply as an occupation or a way of making a living without a nudge at all, without a touch of God, without a calling of God at all from heaven. Many use this office as a place of prestige without a calling. Some are sent by mama, and some are sent by daddy. Others have gotten into the ministry because there's other preachers in the family, and they just joined in, just to be part of the work. Now, many jokes are made about getting into the ministry without a calling of God. I've heard many jokes. Here in our text verse, Paul is telling the young Timothy that the pulpit is a divine platform to be used to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach and proclaim the greatest message that the world could ever hear. Timothy and all the preachers today are to use this place in the proper manner and bring glory to the Lamb of God who can draw the lost to Him and save their ever-dying soul. Therefore, we see Paul exhorting the young Timothy to declare the Word of God with charity, with compassion, and with a love from a pure heart or from a clean heart. Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to search his soul before he steps into the pulpit to declare the things of God. Paul is telling Timothy to make sure there's nothing in his life or heart that will bring reproach upon Christ or hinder the Spirit of God from working through the message to bring conviction to the lost in the congregation, or maybe those who are there outside the will of God trying to find the way that God wants them to walk. In our last lesson, we said the pulpit is a sacred and holy place. That's absolutely true. The pulpit should be looked at like the burning bush of the Old Testament. Moses, on the backside of the desert, saw a bush burning and not being devoured or consumed. He rose up to see this sight, and as he neared the burning bush, God told him to pull off his shoes, for the ground he was standing on was holy ground. The pulpit, likewise, is holy ground. We need to treat it as such. Amen. Every time we stand behind it. Amen. Now, to step into the pulpit with a feeling of importance is to take the work of God for granted. To have some sin or transgression in our heart and step into the pulpit to preach the holy word of God is dangerous. That's why Paul told Timothy to have a pure heart. Pure means without a blemish or without an impurity or without a spot. Amen. A pure heart is a forgiven heart. It's a cleansed heart. That's how we are to step in the pulpit when we stand to declare the holy word of God. No preacher should step into the pulpit without first lingering and staying and meditating and bowing at the throne of the grace of God in prayer and seeking the face of God. The preacher should saturate himself in the Word of God for cleansing. Amen. We are cleansed and washed by the water of the Word of God, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now Paul lets us know that the preacher is to be clean and have a pure heart in two places in the pastoral epistles. In Timothy and in the book of Titus, Paul gives a set of qualifications for the man of God. In studying these qualifications, we'll see that the office of a bishop has some strong expectations from Paul, some strong expectations from God, some strong expectations from the Word of God, and some strong expectations from the Spirit of God. These qualifications are strict, and they're strong. To ignore them is to ignore the Word of God and trifle with a holy God. It's indeed a dangerous thing to play around with God and His demands and pay Him no attention. Now, God gave us some strong qualifications for the priest in the Old Testament as well. Notice what God said in Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 through 23. He said, "Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever he be of the seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed, or broken-handed, or crook-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh under the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them." The pulpit, brother and sister, is a most holy place to be filled by those with a pure heart. God demands purity in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. The priest in the Old Testament is equivalent to the pastor in the New Testament. God demands purity. God demands holiness. God demands and expects a clean and a pure heart from His servants. Nothing else will do, or nothing else will be blessed of God. We'll have trouble if we try to trifle with God and try to pull one over on Him. I'll tell you, God knows our heart. God knows our soul each time we step into the sacred desk. Now, we hope this lesson number 33 has been a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let it soak into your soul and stir up your life. I pray today that God will help you. If you want to know more about this ministry, just go to Google and type in three words, Pastor Dennis Deals, and follow the leads. We'd like to hear from you. God bless you, my friend. Amen and amen.